You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am your gracious and humble host, Eric G., welcoming you to another episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about why it's a big deal that OU lost commitment Drew Sanders to Alabama, what OU could have done to prevent it, and I'll tell you what a former defensive player who will remain nameless is saying about the current state of OU football, and we'll talk about what Alex Grinch can do to change the current state of OU football. I'll tell you why it's important that the Arizona Cardinals went all in on Kyler Murray, which is not something they did with Drew Rosen last year. And we will talk about reality versus perception. If you didn't read Barry Trammell's column today about the Pac-12 and the way they are scheduling, does perception actually meet reality, and why I would love for the Big 12 to have the same kind of attitude? Will at least Oklahoma have the same kind of attitude that the Pac-12 does? My name's Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I also host a website. It's called Sooner Maven. Check it out at collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma, where we not only post this podcast, but we do video and we scour the web so you don't have to. All the biggest stories about Oklahoma, we'll post them on Sooner Maven. Why? Because, well, we're here to serve you. If you like this podcast, and I really hope you do since you're listening to it, make sure you download the Himalaya app and then put that on your phone. And when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. Big news broke in the recruiting world on Monday when four-star athlete out of Denton, Texas, Drew Sanders decided to break his commitment from OU and flip to Alabama. Sends out a tweet where he's either at Bryant-Denny Stadium or standing in front of a background that looks an awful lot like Bryant-Denny Stadium. He's wearing an Alabama uniform and his mom's hugging him. He says his recruiting process is 100% over. And let's start there. First of all, your recruiting process is never 100% over until you sign that national letter of intent. At that point, the recruiting process is over. And I know the coaches have to make a decision when to stick and recruit a kid, even though he's verbally committed someplace else, and when to move on and find another place for that scholarship. And if you're OU and you really believe that this kid can eventually come and help the program be national championship caliber, you can't give up on him. And according to Brandon Drummond, 24/7 Sports, it's Cale Gundy is the guy that's been recruiting him. And as we all know, Cale is a master recruiter. You've got to stay on him, stay on him, stay on him, get Lincoln Riley to stay on him. And if Lincoln Riley can flip Jeremiah Crittle at the last minute, there's no reason why he can't get Drew Sanders to come back to OU. But there's a problem here. There is a major problem where it is a referendum on the current OU program right now, which is this kid is listed as an athlete. He's played tight end in high school. That's what he started off playing, and that's originally why he wanted to come to OU, because he was going to play offense. But now he's being recruited as an outside linebacker. And when you play defense and you're thinking about going to the NFL and you've got your choice between any SEC school in America or OU, you're going to take that SEC school, even if it's Mississippi State. I think Vanderbilt is about the only school you don't want to go to if you are a defensive player and you're thinking about going to the NFL. Going to the SEC right now, you have more cachet as a player and you're way more attractive to scouts and to coaches. Even though if you're a defensive back and you come to the Big 12 and you're successful against spread offenses, more often than not, the SEC kid is going to get the benefit of the doubt. And it just shows you that even though OU had this great draft, and we've been talking about how Lincoln Riley can build on it, and how this is going to be a great boon for OU, how they're going to get all these great high school kids because you saw the draft, you want to play in the NFL, you go to Oklahoma, and you're developing them, well, you're doing that on one side of the ball. And every coach in the SEC, no matter how good Roy Manning is, no matter how good Brian Odom is, or Alex Grinch at recruiting and developing players, all you have to do right now, if you're LSU and A&M, which are a couple of other places that recruited Drew Sanders as well, is just look at them and say, I know you want to go to OU, but did you see any defensive players get drafted? They've only got two guys going into camps, and both of those signed as unrestricted free agents. So how likely is it that they're going to actually make these NFL teams? It's got to change. And it's not just because you want to put kids in the NFL. And it's not just simply because you want to get the best high school kids here, but you've got no shot at winning a national championship until you can start recruiting some of these players. And what I find interesting about this, and look, one thing I did not read and do not know, and thinking about all the recruiting roles, I would have had Jalen Hurts talk to this kid if he's considering Alabama. Considering the fact that Jalen Hurts has been at both schools, I would have had Hurts do everything you can to sell this kid on why OU is a better place to play than Alabama. Which right now, in my heart, I believe OU is the more fun place to play based on things that Jalen Hurts has said. I don't know if it's necessarily the better place, though, because we saw Alabama still had more kids go in the draft than Oklahoma, and Ohio State did as well. And if you want to play on that opposite side of the ball, there's just, right now, there's not a lot of rhyme or reason to go to OU. Yes, Alex Grinch is great. Yes, Alex Grinch, and there's no doubt that Alex Grinch is going to make this team better, or should make it better. I mean, you've got no place to go but up. But until you start producing results, until you can actually show kids some tangible evidence that coming to OU is going to pay off in the long run, you're still going to be fighting this uphill battle. So that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on Alex Grinch this year to make sure that that defense is markedly improved. And you've got to go into top 60 form, at least top 60 form. You got to have that. Right now you're struck with having that balance of improving and showing you can develop talent. And there's a great brand of defense being played here, but then selling that whole idea of whatever five-star athlete you're looking at is going to come in and put you over the top, which is not an easy thing to do if you're Alex Grinch. The other thing that I would say about the whole recruiting situation when it comes to Drew Sanders is that if you're OU and you lost this, you have now slipped out of the top 10. I think you're 17. 17 according to 24/7, which is still the highest rated class in the Big 12, but you're out of the top 5, out of the top 10, and we all know to compete for national championships, you got to have that top 5 recruiting class. Only 6 commits so far, and there's still a ways to go before this is over, and in Lincoln Riley, I trust, at least when it comes to recruiting. Talk to a former defensive player this week from OU who's not really happy about the current state of the program, and one of the big complaints that he's had throughout the years is not just watching Mike Stoops and his lack of development with players and players getting worse, especially in the secondary under Kerry Cooks. Come to OU, have these great freshman years, and then progressively get worse as the years go on. So it's like Parnell Motley, great freshman year. Sophomore year was mediocre. And then last year was very hit and miss, to say the least, for a guy like Parnell Motley. And what this guy wants is consistency inside the defense, which is exactly what Alex Grinch wants as well. And I think the thing, and I'm going to play this cut for you, the thing that amazed me the most that Alex Grinch had to say as defensive coordinator at OU was that there just was no accountability at all for kids when they were playing at OU. You could take one play, you could have one great play, and you could essentially use that as currency to build up and have 3 or 4 bad plays and then go tell your coach, well, hey, look what I did. You remember this play? Why are you getting on me for that? And if you don't believe me, check out what Alex Grinch had to say.
You know, certainly progress is being made, and if that was the only standard that we had was to make progress, and you could feel really, really good at this point. But I think what you're finding as you watch it on film, I think you got a group of guys that certainly want to improve. I don't question the want to. You know, probably the biggest issues that you have as a competitor, as a performer, is I want high standards. but I want a free pass when I don't reach those standards. And I think we're kind of maybe somewhere in that purgatory or whatever that kind of black hole is, where you say I want to be held to a high standard. I want to be better. I expect to have a performance each day in practice that's worthy of praise from my coaches and the players next to me. But when I don't have that, we still have those kind of built-in excuses that we got to eliminate if we're going to be anything that we want to be. So long answer, but still a long way to go.
I'm really excited about what Alex Grinch is going to bring to this team. If for nothing else, he is going to bring that edge and that attitude that the defense has lacked, and maybe the program as a whole has lacked for quite a few years, maybe ever since Brent Venables left. And the saving grace for OU this year, because when you watch the defense and you watch the offensive line, my warning is this: it's going to take 4 or 5 games for all that to really come together this year. And you're like, 5 games? Damn, that's almost half the year. Well, it is, but you've got great deodorant and a guy like Jalen Hurts who can make things happen with his legs. And then you've got a tremendous receiving core with Jaden Hazelwood and Theo Weiss and Trajan Bridges. And those are just the young guys. Oh, yeah, Charleston Rambo, CeeDee Lamb, and Grant Calcaterra and Austin Stogner. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches on the offensive side of the ball, sans the offensive line, and then you've got those great running backs. So OU will be able to navigate their way through that, but if you give them time, I think by the end of this year, OU is going to be right exactly where you want them to be, which is having another opportunity to go to the college football playoff. Coming up next here on the Locked On Sooners podcast, why it's good, why it was the right thing for Arizona to not hold back and go all in on Kyler Murray. We'll have it for you here. If you like what you're listening to, download the Himalaya app to your phone. And then when you get into your car, tell your smart device to please play the Locked On Sooners podcast. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're an employer and you're looking for a great place to find qualified employees, then the only place you really need to go is ZipRecruiter. And right now, we're going to give you this service for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. I myself have been looking for a job for a while. The thing I love about ZipRecruiter is instead of having to wade through hundreds of listings, go through a ton of job boards, I give them my resume, fill out what I'm qualified for, and ZipRecruiter sets me up with potential employers that actually make sense. And if you're someone doing the hiring, ZipRecruiter has an amazing track record because 80% of the people that post on ZipRecruiter in day one, will get at least one qualified candidate. They're not going to waste your time. So go to ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn and take advantage of this special offer today. You're listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I love the balls on Steve Keim. Yes, let me have that Deadpool moment, will you? I love Steve Keim's balls. Oops, there I said it again. Okay, Ryan Reynolds jokes aside, bad jokes aside, whatever. Arizona did the right thing by going all in on Kyler Murray. Well, one, they had no choice. Because once you tipped your hand as bad as they did that you were going to take a quarterback, you knew you were going to have to get rid of Josh Rosen. And you only got a second pick for him. And of course, there's the whole story with Cliff Kingsbury, which if you're not familiar with, let me just reiterate it for you. Fired at Texas Tech, hired as USC's offensive coordinator, somehow gets the Arizona Cardinals job. Yeah, go figure that out on your own time, because I still can't figure it out. And when you figure it out, tell me how it all happened and hit me up at Sooner Maven. So that's at Sooner Maven on Twitter. Now that you've taken all these great risks, and Arizona did a fabulous job of putting receivers around Kyler Murray this year, but now that you have taken this risk, you really have no choice but to make sure Kyler Murray completely understands that he's got the keys to the castle. And that's what Steve Keim reiterated here on one of the latest episodes of The Rich Eisen Show.
No, we didn't draft him one overall to ride the pine. So I know it's a lot to put on his back, but, you know, that's why we drafted him. He's a fierce competitor, and that's what he did at Oklahoma this year. He put the team on his back. They didn't have a great defense, and he knew he had to score almost every series to give them a chance to win, and I sort of liked the chances there.
If somebody had come up to you after you traded up for Rosen last year and said you're going to trade him next year, what would you have said?
Oh, man, it'd be hard to understand any circumstances other than the one that just happened that would happen, you know. And I know it sounds far-fetched, but, you know, again, if I didn't get the feel that I got while watching the tape of Kyler Murray and how dynamic he is, there's probably probably zero chance of that happening.
All right, and we're all assuming what this offense is going to look like. Give us an idea of how it all fits together with your pieces like David Johnson and a goat like Fitz that you have there, Steve. How does this all get put together for you?
Well, the biggest thing we had to do was address is his sad playmakers to help Kyler. And to me, you know, that's one of the things we did in this draft and drafting three receivers who were ranked 1, 6, and 8 statistically, you know, in terms of production and NCAA receiving with Andy Isabella, who's a speed guy, Hakeem Butler, and Keyshawn Johnson, the other Keyshawn Johnson.
Yes.
But, you know, I think that those guys are all playmakers. They all come in different shapes and sizes. You know, Butler's a big, long, athletic guy. Isabella's on the smaller side, explosive. And then Keyshawn Johnson, to me, was one of the better natural route runners in this draft. So all playmakers who have a chance to help this offense. And there's no doubt that David Johnson and Fitz and Kyler will benefit from the help.
For more of the Rich Eisen.
What Steve Keim did that was so brilliant is tie his own career to Kyler Murray. Because that's the whole genius of this move. Is he tied his whole career to the success of Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, where if they're not successful, probably I would say within the first 2 years, maybe 2.5, that's probably all Steve Keim's going to get, then he's going to get his ass fired. So you've got to show that quarterback that you're in it with him, which is all every young quarterback really wants from their organization, is they want to know you are ride or die, and that's what the Cardinals have done with Steve Keim. He doesn't have a backup. Matter of fact, I looked up the backup. It's Brett Hundley from UCLA, who did get an opportunity to play in a few games last year, and his stats weren't bad. But Brett Hundley's never run this offense, and there's no way in heck they're going to let Brett Hundley start this year unless something bad happens to Kyler Murray. By getting rid of Josh Rosen, by taking that second-round pick for Josh Rosen, you not only let Kyler Murray know that, hey, you're our guy, and we're going to sink or swim with you, but you showed him that you're willing to invest, that you're willing to take a risk, and no matter what happens this year, you're still going to be good with him. Which, as a young quarterback, you now go in and relax and you just begin the process of trying to win over your teammates. And if there are some of your teammates that are upset about Josh Rosen being gone because they felt like he was better for the system or they got along with him better or he was a much more prototypical NFL quarterback or whatever the situation is, well, now you don't have that divided locker room, and anybody who may have a problem with Kyler Murray, they've been forced into a situation where they've got to make it work themselves. So it's in their best interest, not only from a winning standpoint, but from a money standpoint, that they would go get along with Kyler Murray. So all this was just beautiful planning by the Arizona Cardinals. And unlike the New York Giants, who are continuing to throw their new quarterback under the bus at every opportunity they get, or Dave Gettleman, their GM, just continues to make every single wrong move when he gets in front of a mic, the Cardinals have done what you're supposed to do. Hey, we took the risk. If you don't want to criticize us, that's fine, but this is our guy, period. Plus, you had to get Kyler Murray started because, well, he's going to sell tickets. And Josh Rosen may be a great NFL quarterback, but it's not until the team wins that people are actually going to pay money to go out and see him. They'll pay money to watch Kyler Murray. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. We'll close things out talking about perception versus reality and why OU needs to have a Pac-12 mentality. I'll explain right here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. Remember, if you like what you hear, all you got to do real quick is just go download the Himalaya app to your phone. When you put it on your smart device, you get into your car and you tell your smart device to play the Locked On Sooners podcast. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you again for listening to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Eric G. Barry Trammell writing another brilliant column today for News OK or for the Oklahoman. And look, not for nothing here. And there's a lot of writers, a lot of very talented writers in this state. Ryan Aber, Eric Bailey's a very talented writer, Garen Emig, Jenny Carlson, Maddie Lee, Eric Horn. I could go on and on. Just the quality of talent. And it's a very deep bench between the Oklahoman and the Tulsa World and even other outlets where you get some really good quality content to read. There isn't anybody I enjoy reading more than Barry Trammell. Very few people that I like more than Barry Trammell in this business. And that's saying something because I like a lot of people. But Barry writes a brilliant article today about how the Pac-12 has essentially screwed themselves out of competing in the college football playoff, because often they want to play a couple of quality opponents and then maybe have one so-so opponent, and they want to limit the FCS schools. Where I disagree with Barry Trammell on this is the Pac-12 is doing exactly what they need to be doing. OU should have this mentality for a couple of reasons. One, you need to be showing the college football playoff selection committee that you're not afraid to schedule tough. And that should get taken into account more. And as for the year that Barry brought up about USC and Alabama going to the college football playoff, even though they got beat by Auburn that year and didn't even win their division, and USC, who won the Pac-12 and didn't go because they lost a couple of games, well, one of those games was at the beginning of the year when they got shellacked by Bama. Got absolutely mauled. It was 52-7, the final score. Well, yeah, even if USC got better throughout the year and proved they were playoff worthy, if it came down to them in Alabama, you had no choice as the committee but to take the head-to-head matchup, and Alabama, at least with that score, proved that they were more worthy of the playoff than USC. I hate the fact that OU's playing South Dakota. I hate it. And as a fan, I know that that's probably going to be one of the easier tickets to get, especially if you're like me and you're buying from third party, but why would I part with my money to go see South Dakota? Part with my money to go see them play UCLA, even though UCLA sucked, but UCLA's at least a name brand. And sometimes you got to do what OU does, which is play those name brands in those down years, but a lot of that is just schedule and luck and whatever. But those name brands, and I know it drives some people crazy, but people will always be more excited for a name brand than they will Eastern Washington. And I give Oregon credit. You're playing Alabama, and then I think they're playing a couple of rum drums in there as well. I looked at Colorado's schedule. Colorado's non-con, to me, is a joke. You play Colorado State, the annual game that you play every year, and let's remember, they are a Mountain West Conference team, but they're your in-state rivals, so you're going to go ahead and play them. Then you play Air Force. It's essentially another state school in Colorado. And then you're playing Nebraska. All right, so you're playing Nebraska. You're getting Nebraska at a time when you're a hell of a lot better than them, but at least you're scheduling somebody in the Big Ten. But I would rather much see I don't want to see Colorado play Colorado State. I know it may mean something to the people in that particular state, especially those that went to CSU, but I want to see Colorado do a schedule where, look, if you're going to get all sentimental about the old Big Eight, play Oklahoma. Play Nebraska one year. Play Missouri. That's a Big Ten, Big 12 SEC school that you've all lined up, all former schools that you've played, and you can make it you can market it as an old Big Eight thing. And as a Colorado fan, I'd be way more excited about that than watching you play Air Force. As an OU fan, Yeah, South Dakota doesn't do anything for me. I don't mind playing Houston. I don't mind playing one non-Power 5 school, but I certainly don't think OU needs to be playing anybody in the FCS. And I would rather see OU, even if it kills them, I'd rather see them play A&M or Missouri or some of those, you know, any of those teams that left the Big 12 than play South Dakota. But schedule a Big 10 game. Go give me Northwestern. You know, if you want to get somebody like that, although, I mean, Northwestern can be pretty good from time to time, but there's just, it's that idea that we have got to get over worrying about scheduling for the college football playoff. I understand that's the ultimate goal, but if everybody starts scheduling tough, then these games become less costly and you figure it out. Plus, hey, I still think there's a good shift coming in college football sometime here in the very near future. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll talk a little more OU basketball. We'll preview some of the guards that are stepping onto campus. And, of course, what else are we going to talk? OU football. Lots of OU football in this podcast. May God bless you and your family. Everybody love everybody. Peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.